Great Expectations, The Dickens Collection, an Audible exclusive series, written by Charles Dickens and Howard Jacobson, and read by Matt Lucas and Howard Jacobson.
Introduction, written and read by Howard Jacobson. The question that vexed readers during Dickens' lifetime continues to divide them today. Is his true genius to be found in boisterous, inexhaustibly comic novels of the Martin Chuzzlewit and Nicholas Nickleby kind, stories that go on feeding delightedly on themselves, or in more austere, even tragic works such as Little Dorrit and Our Mutual Friend, where Victorian society figures as a debtor's prison and a dust heap? It is, of course, a false distinction. Comedy does not preclude seriousness, nor can seriousness manage long without comedy. Of all Dickens' novels, perhaps none moves more adroitly between the two than Great Expectations. Certainly the comic invention of the earlier books shows no sign of flagging. Only think of Mr. Wemmick's on-the-spur-of-the-moment nuptials. "Hello, it's a church. Let's have a wedding." Or Pip returning from his first visit to Miss Havisham's decaying mansion with increasingly frantic stories of that lady sitting in a black velvet coach while four immense dogs fought for veal cutlets out of a silver basket, and he and Estella played with flags and, waved swords. But fancifulness is not the dominant note. Hemmed around by an uneasy conscience, by the marsh mists of his boyhood, by the strange passion he nurses, by the dismal brutality he encounters when he moves to London to be a gentleman, Pip is no exuberant narrator. No ebullience can soften the novel's depiction of the harsh ills and cruel injustices of Victorian England. The atmosphere of foreboding with which the novel begins never leaves it. When I say the ills of Victorian England, I don't simply mean the social and economic ills. What makes Great Expectations unlike any of Dickens' other novels is its penetration into the psychology of Victorianism. In particular, its schizophrenic separation of commerce and love, you might even say men and women, one inevitable consequence of which is an impossible idealization of unsullied female innocence. In Agnes Wickfield, wife-to-be to David Copperfield, Dickens indulged his hero's mawkishness. "I cannot call to mind where or when in my childhood I had seen a stained-glass window in a church," David muses, and that's neat, little Agnes associated with the tranquility of church windows forever. Pip's glorification of Estella is less churchy, but even more far-fetched, though this time Dickens doesn't dodge the pathology. Indeed, you could say that the entire plot of Great Expectations exists to show how far from any real Estella Pip's estimate of her is. The expectation of the novel's title, a monetary. This is the story of a poor, bullied orphan with no prospects, whose head is turned by a mysterious bequest promising riches and sophistication. But those expectations are also romantic, and it would not be extravagant to say erotic. What appears to be promised Pip, along with the money and the opportunity to move in society, is the love of the beautiful heiress Estella, cold, remote, spotless, and untouchable. Quite out of his league, you might say, but then that's the whole point. Pip wants her to be out of his league. With Estella and the money that accompanies her, Pip believes he will be able to put behind him his origins, his upbringing, the way he talks, the way he dresses, the people who care for him no less than the people who don't, and ultimately, himself.